was at a church, and we set aside a night to do the Lord's Supper, and they were to come out and down the aisle from the table and get the little package with the cracker and the whatever that stuff is in there that you drink. And I'm watching them come out, and I'm watching them talking to each other and laughing all the way down, and then I'm watching them get the thing and go back to their seats and laughing and talking, and they didn't take the Lord's Supper. They took a cracker and juice. Do this in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. It's very, very sacred. We're going to talk about another thing that's very, very sacred today. And it starts in Matthew 9:14. And one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" And the first question you got to ask is, how would they know that? How do they know the disciples aren't fasting? I mean, and the reason they know that is because it has become very religious, very just horrible. And they'd make themselves look beat up when they'd walk around the streets when they were fasting. So end of the day here, fasting has a very, very special time that you choose what to fast. Number one on your outline, fasting means to voluntarily reduce or eliminate eating food or other needs for a specific time and purpose. I mean, you may spend time fasting the cyber world. Whatever it is that takes up your time, and you've become accustomed to it and doing it, but it's not just walking away from doing it. It's so much deeper than that. It's why you walk away. It's why you walk away. Number two on your outline, fasting is to temporarily deny yourself of an appetite, a worthy appetite, a God-permitted appetite, for the purpose of seeking God. For the purpose of seeking God. And even in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 7:5, it talks about husbands and wives do not deny each other sexually unless it's fasting for a specific reason to get closer to God. I have ripped that page out of my wife's Bible, by the way. So she's never seen fasting sex at all. Yeah, it's a time of spiritual discipline. It's a time to go after it. But it's not just doing away with this. It's also, okay, so what do I do? Well, you spend the time reading your Bible and talking to God and going for walks with God. And I remember I got taken on by two pastors in this town about speaking in tongues. How come you've never spoken in tongues? And I said, I don't know. And they said, well, you need to spend some time fasting and praying about that. And they both speak in tongues in their churches. And so I went to a friend's cabin, this was years ago, in the mountains, and decided I'm going to fast for 5 days. And Lord, if you want me to speak in tongues, I'm not asking, can I? But if you want me to make something happen here, and it didn't happen. And by Friday, I'm laughing, actually. I'm thinking, okay, I'm having one of those Pentecostal experiences of laughing instead of speaking in tongues. But the time I spent, 5 days of fasting food and just drinking water, it was pretty amazing. And how God used that time. Yeah, number three, fasting is a personal spiritual discipline that Jesus tells us to do. In Matthew 6:16, Jesus starts with this, "And when you fast," let me say that again, not if you fast, it says, "And when you fast, don't make it obvious as the hypocrites do, for they try to look miserable and disheveled so people will admire them for their fasting. I tell you the truth, that is the only reward they'll ever get. They won't get a reward from God, but just the people who, oh, look how religious he is. That's not what this is all about. But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face. Verse 18, no one will notice that you're fasting except your Father, who knows what you do in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you." This is really important, and it's something we don't spend enough time talking about, fasting, to get closer to God. And it's very, 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 very personal. It's just you and your Abba, you and your Heavenly Father. That's it. And Lord, I don't really know how to do this. I'm a doer. I like doing the religious things. I don't know how to do this, but end of the day, I know I'm supposed to do this. I'm supposed to deny myself of things as a time period and an opportunity to get closer to you. Creator of the universe fasted for 40 days. Jesus, he fasted. Yeah. Number four, remember that you're fasting for God, not to impress people. Not to impress people. It's kind of like if you're married and you and your wife get away for a long weekend just to be away from everybody but the two of you. It's an opportunity to get away and alone with God, and it's a responsibility. Number five, we are to make fasting very personal. It is a form of worship. It's a form of worship. Letter A, to pursue intimacy with our Father. Everybody prays differently. I pray out loud. I just talk out loud to God. That just works for me. If I don't talk out loud, I get distracted so easily. I'm so ADHD, it's ridiculous. And so I pray out loud. I talk to God all the way up here on 595 and 95 this morning. But then you have to learn to listen, and that's what the Bible's for. The Bible's to spend time, okay, I'm reading this word. What does this mean to me? And I'm going to deny myself of whatever. Yeah, more time in your Bible. Letter B, to use time to talk to our Father. That's called prayer. But if I were to add another one in there, to use time to hear from your Father, that's called the Bible, reading his spoken word. Yeah. Letter C, to intensify my prayer requests. To intensify my prayer requests. Probably 30 plus years ago, 40 years ago, I've been at Sheridan House 49 years. 40 years ago, we had five or six on staff. We had a little house in Hollywood, and we didn't have enough money to make payroll at the end of the week. And so I called in the staff, and I said, look, I want to prepare you. I don't think we're going to make payroll at the end of the week. And I'm talking about it and talking about it and talking about it. And Kathy on the staff said, don't you think we should be praying about it instead of talking about it? And I said, oh, yeah, I meant to say that too, yeah. Yeah, we should be praying about it. And so we started praying, and we prayed around the room, and I said, let's just take a little break, and each of us get some more coffee and come back. And I walked out, and some of you have heard this story, and our some printing had just arrived from our printer. We used to take a Father's Day offering in all the churches, and the Father's Day offering envelopes had just arrived, a massive amount. I thought, oh, I forgot to cancel those. And I go up to the owner. The owner of the printing house delivered them himself. And he said, this is our Father's Day offering, no charge. And then as I turn around, I'm in the lobby. And as I turn around, and I got emotional. As I turn around, a guy walks in I've never seen before in my life and hands me an envelope. And I said, should I open this? And he said, yeah. And it was a check for $25,000. I walked back in and showed them. And they said, do you even know who he is? I said, most of the time I don't know who they are. It's him. I walked back into the office and had to thank Kathy for reminding us to pray, spend time praying. There's an intimacy in this that we need to pursue. Yeah, in Matthew 4:2, for 40 days and 40 nights, he, meaning Jesus, fasted and became very hungry. I'm going to have to say that's, yeah. During that time, the devil came to him and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. Why do you think the devil did that? To distract him from prayer. To remind him that he's hungry. The devil can't have us if we're believers, but he can sure distract us. He can sure derail us and make it so I missed my purpose today. And we have little phrases during the years. Last year's phrase was be a noticer for all the 32 staff. Be a noticer. Notice what God's doing. And so when we come together for staff devotions early Monday, tell me what you saw. We want to tell the story. What'd you see? This unbelievable thing. I had this, it was so obvious. I come back from lunch, went to the bank, got some cash, back to the office, and had a meeting with the saddest case I've ever heard in my life. A lady who grew up in a mafia family on Long Island, and her dad did horrible things, and then she went off and got a great degree in accounting and was working for a gold bullion company, and noticed that the two other men there that were running the company were stealing money, so she did too, because that's the home she grew up in. Ended up doing 5 years in prison, came to Christ in prison, and she was sitting across from me. She's 65. She was sitting across from me saying, because of my embezzled embezzling and going to prison. I can't get a job. They do the background check. No, I don't think so. I can't get a job, so I'm terrified. I'm going to lose my apartment and everything. And I'm thinking, and I know he's saying to me, this is why you went to the bank. So I took my money out, and I said, well, I want you to have this. Oh, no, I didn't come here for money. I didn't come here for money. This isn't for me. This is from him. You're just the envelope that I get to give it to him through. Now, you told me you haven't been back to church. Go back to church. Go back to church. And actually, she lives not far from here. I said, go to Coleridge. Just go back to church. He's got a plan. He uses the good and the bad. The verse, and we know that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. You don't have to convince me that the good things work together for good. You've got to convince me how you're going to use the bad things. And the guys in the Bible, they are amazing. For this, Moses murders a man at 40 years old, runs away so he's not going to get executed, goes to the backside of a desert, becomes a smelly sheep shepherd. Now this, Moses grew up in Pharaoh's house. He grew up very wealthy, probably very highly educated, and a smelly sheep shepherd. And I think God had to really work to get his attention. I mean, talking to a burning bush, that would get my attention. A burning bush talking to me, either I'd pass out or that would get my attention. And I want you to go back. Oh, I want you to go back because I want you to lead my children out of Egypt. I want you to go back. For Moses to choose to be all in to the point of leading them out, battling with Pharaoh about it, taking the labor force out, leading them out with no money, no food, no water, and spend 40 years like that. Somebody asked me the other day, why don't you think God let Moses go in to the promised land? Because he went to the promised land instead, the better promised land. Are you kidding? He got rescued completely. Okay, you finished. Come home and live a wonderful life in heaven. You did it. You know, little Joseph was arrogant. And at 17, his brothers decide to kill him. Because it's obvious that his dad's going to give everything to little Joseph rather than the oldest. And instead of killing him, they throw him in a pit. And then they decide, let's not kill him. Let's sell him. So they sold him to this caravan and that's heading into Egypt. And the caravan heads into Egypt. And he gets bought by Potiphar. And Potiphar, they believe Potiphar had a very, very, very young trophy wife. He had been a general, and now he's head of security and everything in Egypt. And so here's the thing. I don't want to give you a visual aid, but here's the thing. No one wore anything from the waist up in Egypt. They wore these big baggy pants. So the women were topless, the men were topless, and Potiphar's wife is chasing him around for the better part of 11 years saying, come to bed with me. When I get to heaven, I want a cup of coffee with Joseph. Were you ever tempted? Were you ever tempted? Of course you were tempted, yes. But I knew. And his response to her finally, how could I do such a thing and sin against God? And if you're standing there with him, what has God done for you? Oh, but I know he will. I know he will. And then he becomes the number one guy under the Pharaoh. Wow. Yeah, he's got this, but we have to begin to develop. And I'm imagining Joseph talking to God about Potiphar's wife. Father, keep her away from me. Keep her away from me. And because wow, you know, we were talking out to lunch with two guys the other day about one of the things about South Florida is pretty much the women don't wear any clothes. And the women that jog in my neighborhood is a 2-mile circle, and I drive around because I'm wearing hearing aids. I have to do all my phone calls there, and I'm talking to God like, oh gosh, Father, warn me ahead of time. I don't want to look over there because I'm predisposed to look over there, but I'm just looking. Well, you've heard it said you should not commit adultery, but I say if you even look at a woman with lust in your eyes, you've committed adultery. I know you know what I'm thinking. I know you, oh, Father, yeah. Jesus fasted for 40 days with Satan tempting him in three different areas and then quit for a while. Satan was always pushing the buttons. Yeah, 40 days, wow. God himself in skin felt the need to fast. Wow. Yeah, number 6, when you fast, be prepared for the distractions. And not if you fast, when you fast, when you fast. And it's a walk out of here today thinking, okay, Lord, show me how, when, how long. And there's no set amount. Maybe the first time you fast, everything but water, maybe it's just 24 hours and reading. And then the next day, the longest I fasted is 10 days, and it gets euphoric after a while. And all of a sudden you realize, wow, this is different. This is different. And really, and everybody has different things. I stopped fasting for things. Answers. I fasted. I want to know you better, Lord. I don't want to walk by. I wasn't sure why you had me go to the bank on the way home to get a couple $100. And then when I hear her and she's in tears and I'm going to be on the streets and I don't even have any food for money for food. And I said, well, we can take care of that here. We Trader Joe's gives us a huge truckload every day, so we can get you some food. And she doesn't fit us. She's not a single mom, but I knew I was supposed to do it. And I'm sitting at my desk. And I put my hand in my pocket, and I feel this money, and I realized, oh, this is it. This is it, Lord. And she's weeping and trying to push it back. I had to say to her, either you take this money or I'm putting it in a shredder. And she starts laughing. She says, okay, so here, put it in your purse now before you walk out of here. He gives you opportunities to be used by him. I didn't wake up that morning and say, can I give some money away? No, Bob, she's driving a piece of junk. You're driving a Toyota Highlander. Come on, Bob. And I always walk out to see what they're driving. Well, that's what we want. I want to get it, Lord. I want to do whatever I can to hear your voice in my heart, Holy Spirit. I want to hear it. Do this. Don't do that. Make this call. Stop by to visit this person. And when you fast, yeah, number 7, there is an assumption that you will fast. Jesus is trying to tell you why we fast. Why we fast. And the early church fasted together. You can fast as a church, but you need your time alone also. And it says in Acts 14:23, Paul and Barnabas were also appointed elders in the early church, and elders in every appointed elders in every church. With prayer and fasting, they turned the elders over to the care of the Lord, in whom they had put their trust. Yeah, when it's something that important, fast for your marriage. Fast for your children. Fast for, I know this is the day you've made, Lord. I don't want to walk by it. I want to notice what you want me to stop, do, and say. Yeah. This question, one day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do? Number 8, the religious leaders had made the observation, the observance of many of the biblical ordinances a matter of routine with no spiritual purpose. We're just doing it. We're checking off the list, checking off the list, checking off the list. And this is just personal, and most people will disagree with me. I don't think we worship in church. I think we study and praise God. And it says in Romans 12:1, to present yourself as a living and holy sacrifice in view of God's mercy. In view of God's mercy, is this too much to ask? This is your holy act of worship, sacrificing. For the right reason, just for this relationship. Yeah, just doing it brainlessly like the Lord's Supper? No. Luke 22:17, this is my body given for you, the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me. Wow. Fasting is really a denial of self. We're not raised, especially in our culture, to understand denying myself of anything. We're raised to get it, have it, own it, buy it. Ask rather than, because I love you, Lord, denial of self. When you see all the greats in Scripture, you realize what they gave up. And I can't imagine how much fun they had watching God put manna on the ground, something to eat every morning, and watching the two different kinds of people. One kind of person would get up first thing in the morning and race out of the tent and see, is it here? Where the other one will get up, oh, I know it's here. It's my God. He's an awesome God. I know it's here. But to get to the point where I know that I know that I know, it's amazing. We're building 3 buildings at Sheridan House this year because of single moms. They're desperate right now. They're just desperate. This lady's rent, no, it was a teacher from CCA, a single mom. Her rent had been $1,100. Now it's $2,100 a month, and just gasping, and came to talk to us. And we can't build these things fast enough. And it's fun if you're a businessman, and everybody on my board is a businessman or woman. And if you're new on the board, when we say we're announcing that we're building three buildings, and one of them who's new on the board said, do we have the money to do this? And I said, we've never had the money to build anything here. You're kidding, right? Ever had the money. And so that was announced at the last board meeting. I got a call from a friend. He said, I know it's $150,000, because of all the things that builders do for you to build a duplex. Can I do it at $50,000 a year? And I said, well, yeah, you can do it anywhere you want. And then another guy came and said, I want to build a duplex. And here's the fun thing about us building the triplexes and duplexes. I make them put a name on it. And the first guy who fought me, George Meyer, fought me on it. I don't want to do this. I don't want my name anywhere. I said, it's not for you. It's your legacy. It's not for you. It's for your children. So I get a call, and somebody in the George Meyer home, Home for Boys, George Meyer said, there's a silver pickup truck out here, and it's here about every 2 months. And would you come and check it out? So I got my car and drove around to the boys' home, and when I got up to the pickup truck, I realized it was George Meyer Jr., and I said, George, what are you doing? This is awesome, but what are you doing? This is my dad's tombstone. Not something on the ground that's a waste of time. I love that my dad did something, and I know you made him put his name on it, that little boys are getting help. So I come here and pray. It's called legacy giving. It's amazing. And watching board members, when we're reading the finance report, and it doesn't look terribly great, and you're building three buildings, and it always works. It always works. He wants us to trust him. And part of fasting is, what do you want me to trust you with, Lord? And Bob, I want you to trust me with the finances. There are people that need help. Remember when he sent the disciples out to go everywhere? Don't bring any money. Don't bring a change of clothes. When you arrive in a town or a city, find a godly person and stay with them. But don't bring any money. How will we eat? And it worked. It worked. What does he want you to trust him with? So Jesus goes on after they ask, why don't your people fast? This is so cool. Verse 15, Jesus replied, do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast. Besides, who would put an old patch on new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both can be preserved. So as it's fermenting and growing, what he's saying is, this is a new day. You guys are bringing stuff from the past. This is a new day, a really, really new day. It was so interesting that a group of people came to me from a church here in town and said, we want to find another church. Where would you suggest? And I said, well, where do you live? And they told me, I said, you guys, most of you live around the corner from Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church. And one of the ladies, a little older than me, I just don't think I could go to a Presbyterian church. And I said, those days are done. Those days are done. This pastor has taken it to a new place. It's amazing. Focusing on the important things. And Erwin Lutzer coming to speak here. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's one of the greatest in the world. This is going to be a big event here. All these theologians. It's going to be heavy, but it's going to be a big event. Yeah. When Jesus, number nine, when Jesus' followers had the privilege of listening directly to God while he was on this earth, why would they fast to hear from God? They don't need to fast to hear from God. They're hearing directly from God. Yeah. It's for a greater good. Yeah. Philippians 2:5 says this, you must have the same attitude that Christ had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He fasted being God. He gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all. The name above all. Number 10, if fasting is a denial of self for a greater cause, the ultimate fast was when Jesus emptied himself of his godhood. Emptied himself for us. We want to know him better. And fasting is one of the ways. And listening to the word of God is one of the ways. We want to know him better. I don't want to get to heaven and have Jesus say, "Welcome home, son. You're forgiven. Welcome home. There's a lot of things you missed I had for you to do there. And you would have had fun doing them. But you didn't pursue me. We didn't have staff meetings. You didn't listen to the word of God. Yeah. You weren't a servant. Be a servant." Jesus washed feet. He washed the feet he created. Dirty, disgusting feet. They always washed feet when they came in from the outside because they wore sandals and they walked on dirt and camel dung. And I'm sure he dismissed the servant in the upper room to see which one of them would wash feet. And none of them would wash feet. So Jesus put on the apron thing and called them over one at a time. And Peter said, "No, I'm not letting you do this. You have no options. I need to wash your feet. Then wash my whole body." No, the key here, Peter, is your body's clean because I've forgiven you. But your feet touch the world every day. I don't think it's feet for us. I think it's eyeballs, but I don't know. Our eyeballs touch the world out there every day. And wow. The only nice thing about us going to North Carolina every now and then is the women wear clothes. It's just like, are we kidding? Lord, I know you made me visual so my wife would own me. But no, that's Satan trying to distract you, Bob. That's Satan trying to distract you. Don't. Last, number 11. Scripturally prescribed religious activities are meant to draw us closer to Christ, not to become a substitute for a relationship with Christ. Yeah, fasting, why? To get direction from God. Why? Time dedicated to be alone with your Father. Why? To seek an answer. Why? A worship form of sacrifice. Like it says in Romans 12:1, a living and holy sacrifice. Excuse me. As you go out of here today and get in your car, you're asking God, okay, what do you want me to fast? How long do you want me to fast? And Lord, I need help with while I'm fasting to dive deeper with you. And Lord, I want to notice what's going on around me. I want to hear, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done for your glory." And always give the glory to God, period.